December deals just dropped at Lowe's. Get up to 30% off select major appliances. Plus, take an additional $75 off every $1,000 you spend on select kitchen major appliances from Whirlpool, KitchenAid, Amana, and Maytag. Also, save $20 on a Craftsman VersaStack rolling tool chest. Now just $69.98. Lowe's knows deals. Valid 12/12 through 12/18. Cannot be combined with additional discounts. See Lowe's.com for details and qualifying items. While supplies last.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Welcome to the Comics Versus Podcast. We're the Lorehounds, your guides to the gritty underbelly of Gotham's crime world. I'm David.
And I'm Jean. And this is our instant reactions to the HBO limited series, The Penguin, episode one, titled After Hours.
We're going to start off with our spoiler-free hot takes. So if you haven't seen it yet, you can get a sense of if the show is something that you're going to want to check out. After a big spoiler warning, we'll get into the show by looking at the three main characters, Oswald, Victor, and Sophia.
We're still working out our coverage plan since this show kind of snuck up on us, but it's too good not to cover. Alicia couldn't make this recording, but will be covering with us in the future. She did send in a voicemail, which we will play in the spoiler section.
Speaking of voicemails, send feedback to lorehounds at thelorehounds.com or head over to our website and use the contact form or the built-in voicemail feature. You can also just use your mobile phone and record a quick voicemail and send it to the Lorehounds email address.
We welcome you to join the conversation on our Discord server. We have a great mod team and a dedicated channel set up for the Penguin.
Links for everything are in the show notes. Jean, before we get into our spoiler-free hot takes, I just wanted to check in on a couple of the production details so folks know what to expect, since this is a show that's just sort of coming at us. We knew it was coming, but we didn't know that it was going to have this much heat on it. So the log line is set 1 week after the events of The Batman. The series explores the rise to power of Oswald Oz Cobb, aka The Penguin, Gotham City's criminal underworld. It's an 8-episode limited series on HBO Max. From now forward, it's going to be running on Sunday nights from September 29th through November 10th. It's created by Lauren LaFranc, and it's in production with DC Studios and Warner Brothers. Like I said, it's a spinoff of the 2022 movie, which was written and directed by Matt Reeves and starred Robert Pattinson and Zoe Kravitz. This show, Colin Farrell reprises his role as the Penguin, and it also stars Kristen Milotti and Renze Filez. Jean, what are your initial impressions of episode one?
This is just a great show.
Yeah?
This is just a great show. And I love that the continuation from the Batman film to this show, the time frame of 1 week following the events of the film, the ending of the film. This is just, I have very, very, very high hopes for the rest of the season, because this first episode, like you said, you don't need to have watched the movie, The Batman, in order to enjoy this show.
Right.
That's how well done it is. Like, you will be dropped into this world and immediately you'll be drawn in, I think. And you'll get the sense of what this is all about without having watched the movie. So this is a real testament to the storytelling that they did in this first episode. I love the Elseworlds that they've built. The Elseworlds, when you'll hear me say this a few times, probably over the next month and a half, is a story that is told about the characters in DC Comics, but they don't take place in the main DC comic universe. So this allows different artists, different writers to have a different take on popular characters. So they already said that this movie is an Elseworlds movie, which doesn't take place in the upcoming James Gunn DC Universe reboot.
Wait, so let me just clarify a second. The 2022 movie is an Elsewhere, or the show is an Elsewhere?
This entire universe.
This entire storyline.
This storyline that they're telling is not the main storyline that you'll get when James Gunn reboots the DC Universe movies.
Okay.
So this takes place outside of that continuity, which we're going to start getting at the end of this year with Creature Commandos, and then into next year with the Superman movie.
This is really interesting because DC or Marvel ran into a problem, and then they tried to solve it with the multiverse. And so now DC is trying to learn from those mistakes and just running into the walls and pitfalls of this kind of storytelling, taking comics, because comics, you can do this kind of stuff all the time. You can just chop and change and put different characters in different universes and have all kinds of fun, but it's different for TV and movies.
Exactly.
And it has its own challenges. And I think, so it'll be interesting to see how DC picks up from what MCU discovered as it was working its way through these different kinds of story constructions and what is feasible and plausible on screen versus from on paper, right?
Yeah, it's going to be... I'm excited for it.
I am. And then we have this whole new show, Comics Versus, which you and Alicia are going to spearhead in terms of covering the DCU stuff, which you got a great podcast a couple of episodes back where you're
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So we're going to cover everything. And just because it's not in the main DCU continuity doesn't mean that we're not going to cover it. We're going to cover it.
Right. So, because we're crazy like that.
Yeah. And then the last thing I'll say.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
Kristen Milioti. Renzi Feliz. What a job in this first episode. What a job of three actors just drawing people into their characters. Mm. Really making you want to stick around to see what is going on with these people that they're portraying. Really, really great. And the last thing I'll say is Deirdre O'Connell,
who
plays Oz's mom.
So good.
Woo, man.
Yeah. They've really assembled an awesome cast for this.
They did.
Yeah. So, yeah, I want to echo that point, which is you don't have to have seen the 2022 The Batman movie to enjoy the show. Like, I'm just going to super reinforce that. If you're into this kind of gritty crime, gangster, mobster type thing, then watch up to the first, I don't know, 5 minutes or so, up till they drop the first title card. It's a kind of a quasi cold open. And if the show doesn't grab you within those first five-ish minutes, cool, right? But everything you need for the show is in that opening scene. And now I haven't seen the Batman movie. It's the DC stuff isn't typically things that I would run out initially to see. And we know the DCU has been struggling, trying to figure their way out. But hopefully, we're going to see some really good stuff. I watched the trailer for the Batman movie last night after I finished my second watch of episode one of The Penguin. And I can really see the visual style and a bunch of world-building Easter eggs. But it didn't make a difference for me when I first watched episode one. I saw some things and I was like, huh, that's interesting. Or that's cool. Or wow, that's a cool visual shot. But then when I saw the trailer for the movie, I was like, oh, that's from that. And that's from that. Okay, that's interesting. So anything that they're including from the movie is for people who saw the movie. The rest of us who haven't seen the movie, no problem at all. Because this is a character-driven story.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Colin Farrell just absolutely disappears into this role. I remember a couple of times when there were some close-up shots of Colin Farrell playing Oswald. And I was like, trying to look. It's like, where's Colin Farrell in there? I couldn't find him. I couldn't find him visually. I couldn't find him auditorily. I couldn't find him in his mannerisms. Colin Farrell is not there. This is Oswald. This is the Penguin on screen, and it is an incredible performance. Absolutely mind-boggling. Something else I really loved about it is that Gotham is not New York City, but it is, right? Like, it's a cipher for a big city thing. And it has its own history and its own issues and goings on. But it is also New York City. And then when they filmed this in real world in New York City, I keep seeing places that I know. I know exactly where they were filming that. Yes. And so it was a really weird, cool experience of being like transported, but also just remembering Gotham is Gotham. And I think they're really doing a nice job of having quote unquote Gotham as a character right in this. And we're just inhabiting this world. And it's really, they do a really good job with that. A lot of the initial themes, they're just straightforward gangster elements. But what's interesting is that we're transported into this superhero world. So somewhere out there, we know that there are these other forces at play, but we're really just focused in on this sort of crime family style drama. But the show is so well constructed with such great characterizations. They don't treat us dumb. They really pay attention to the story construction. So little things that are introduced at the beginning play off nicely later on in the show, which really shows me that the showrunners know what they're doing and how to write a modern day television show. Mm. They treat us with respect. Smart characters doing smart things, not dumb characters doing dumb things, or good characters doing dumb things, I should say. And it just feels just so well envisioned and put together. I was just really satisfied from a prestige drama level, right? That they're really know what they're doing and how to tell a story. And then last thing I'll say before we get into our full spoiler conversation, and like we said, we're still working out our coverage. So today we're just going to talk about the characters and build a little bit of hype, and then we'll get into some kind of regular coverage going forward. The last thing I'll say is the sound design on this is incredible. The way that they'll end a scene with this just drop of a violin note playing, and then they'll cut, it just knocked me off my socks. I really wanted to be like in a giant surround, sound theater to experience this, because when they punch you hard. And then you don't know it's coming. It's just like, bam, punch. And you're just really left. Wow. So I'm just so pleased with how well they've built this. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Awesome. Awesome.
Cool. All right. So this is your big spoiler warning. We are going to shift into talking about the movie. I think we should do a little world building, just so if you can just let us know a little bit about the movie and what to take out from that world before we start watching this. And then we'll talk about Oz, Vic, and Sophia as our sort of entry point into the show. But to set that up, let's play Alicia's voicemail.
Hey, it's Alicia checking in on the first episode of The Penguin. So glad that you guys are deciding to talk about this. The three of us, after we watched the first episode, were all immediately like, yeah, we're going to need to do more than a one shot on this one. I'm definitely giving it a 10 out of 10 so far. Well, one minor quibble. I'll get to that in a minute. But I am of the crowd that has a mixed opinion of the movie The Batman. I won't get into that now. And I know lots of other people love that movie. Hi, Jean. But the Penguin was easily my favorite character in that film. And since we got just a tease of him, I was immediately excited to hear that this was the character getting the TV spinoff treatment. And I'm thrilled to say that I have none of the quibbles with the script or directing that left me lukewarm on that film. So very excited. It's setting up an incredible character study. The opening scene was the perfect setup. We see how Oswald Cobb is smart enough to act subservient when he needs to, even when it's a snot-nosed little rich boy, up to a point. And we see what that breaking point is when Oz shares an honest moment, a glimpse of the way he'd like to be seen as a crime lord, yes, but a benevolent one. And then he gets laughed at. And now we know, do not laugh at Oswald Cobb. And then the episode goes, as the episode goes on, we get more glimpses of this character's many layers and the way he immediately becomes protective of his new number two Victor once he realizes he has a stutter, his relationship with his mother and the lengths he goes to hide her, his secret love of Dolly Parton. These are all like the myriad little details that make a fully formed and fascinating character. I really only have the one quibble, which is like, this is really my only minor quibble with the show so far, is the way they're using AI to finish the visuals. It definitely has to do with the way they need to stretch their budget a little further for TV. But yeah, the unnatural smoothness of the character's skin and like some background effects, etc., it took me out occasionally from time to time, but I'm happy to squint through that until my brain adjusts to experience this story, this cast, the writing and directing, the rest of the production design. This is definitely going to end up in my top shows of the year ranking. We're so lucky to get this and Agatha All Along at the same time. They're just two totally different flavors of comic book adaptations and both delivering at the top of their game. I can't wait to talk about the rest of the show with you guys this fall.
Good setup. Thank you, Alicia. Jean, I think she wraps it nicely and gives us a good trajectory to start with. What do we kind of need to know from the 2022 movie?
The first thing we need to know is that I absolutely love it. Let's get that out of the way. Let's get that out of the way right now. I am not a detractor of the Batman. I am a firm 10 toes down, big in my business with the Batman. I don't want to hear anything about it. So that's out of the way. Let's get that out of the way.
I'm planning to watch it myself, by the way. So
the last thing you said about the sound.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I love that movie.
Okay.
So pay attention if and when you watch it.
Yeah, I will.
Put on your headphones.
Right on.
The show and the movie are seamless. Because the show picks up a week after the ending of the movie.
Right.
So everything that's transpired in the movie is having an effect on the show right now in real time. Okay. The beauty of the show is that you don't have to have seen the movie to understand what's going on. But for those of us who did watch the movie, it's like, oh, wow. When he tells Victor that his tenement is gone, there's a reason his tenement is gone, right? It was washed away in the movie, right? There are ramifications of the things that transpired within the Batman that we're watching play out in the TV show. Falcone is dead. Who is going to replace him? Who is going to be the number one? Who's going to be the boss of the gangs? Who's going to run the city? Oz was firmly not in that lane in the movie.
Okay. He was a soldier.
He was a soldier.
Mid-level manager.
Yes.
Right.
And he sees this as his opportunity to shine, to rise, to grab a hold of power. And when he gets laughed at by the son of all people.
Dude, Michael Ziegen, who is playing Alberto Falcone.
That just...
So just really quick on Michael Ziegen. He's a solid, well-known actor, right? And to bring him in and then shoot him in the first 5 minutes, that is confidence.
Incredible.
To do that? Come on.
And the thing is, you know, in the movie, you get hints, little hints of deceiving that Oz has.
Mm-hmm.
In the show, he gets to let that out in ways that he wasn't able to in the movie, because the movie firmly cast him as henchman.
Okay. So, you know what this kind of reminds me of a little bit is Andor, where we take this, you know, character from this other story who is important in this other story. And then Diego Luna is like, yo, we should do a series about him. And then boom, we get, you know, Andor. And so it's because I think Colin Farrell stepped up and said, hey, this is a really great character. Let's build him out. Is that the case? I'm not sure. I haven't read all the back.
I mean, I think It's a little bit different because the movie wasn't Batman versus Penguin. It wasn't Batman versus Oz. He played a role, but his role was not to be the antagonist, you know, he wasn't the foil.
Okay.
So it's a little bit different in that way. The thing that is exciting about the show is, again, the continuity. I rarely see this between two stories. It's really important to me because I know already, we already discussed that these versions of these characters, they're not going to be the main versions in the DC universe.
Right.
James Gunn is bringing out. I don't know when we'll ever see these versions again. I know the Batman is getting a second movie, but Penguin and all of these characters, we don't know when we'll see them again. To have them in this show, central to the Gotham experience, is really, really cool to see. Mm. And the thing is, Batman is not a character in this show. He's not someone that up to now, we know he's not showing up. They say he's not showing up. But they haven't even mentioned.
Right. We get that brief mention of the Joker in the news reports, which I thought was a really smart decision on the writer's standpoint was, okay, we got to inject a bunch of exposition right in off the bat so people feel understand the world. And by using the news report style to give us that information dump, not only was efficient, but it also worked in from a world building standpoint because they wrapped it in. They let us know the time and place of this. Even if I'm coming into this and I don't know, is this in the past? Is this in the future? This is a world that I can recognize because the way that they have the talking heads on the news and the Chirons and the whole thing.
Exactly.
And they gave me everything I needed to know quickly and efficiently and then got that out of the way so we could get right into the story.
Into their story.
And then they mentioned Batman briefly, and then they mentioned the Joker, and then that was it. And then they just talk about the seawall, blah, blah, blah. And then they talk about the gangs. Now I'm ready to go. And that was so smart.
And well done, right? Because it eliminates the expectation that anyone might have to think that this is a story about Penguin versus Batman.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. This is a story about Oz.
Right.
And about how he goes, the lengths that he will go to get to the position that he wants to get. How many other characters have we watched go through these same steps, go through these same things, trying to get what they want, what they feel they deserve, what they feel is warranted, what they feel is theirs. This is not simply a comic book movie. This is a comic book show. This is a crime drama, right?
Yeah.
And I don't want folks to just regulate it and say, it's a comic book, you know, adaptation.
No, clearly. And right? I think that's one of the cool things that I found was that just knowing that the outer wrapper of this is in a comic superhero world, but I'm so down on the level of one-on-one with Oswald and his rise. I don't even care that he's the Penguin.
Right.
I don't care.
Right.
Now, they've got all kinds of stuff where his foot and how he walks and the look of his face all plays into that. But beyond that, this is a very intense mob story, right?
Yes.
A crime family story.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about Oz. And maybe just talk about some of the few things that we enjoyed from Colin Farrell's depiction and then also just the way that the story was going. Like I said before, I cannot detect Colin Farrell on screen. It's a really incredible performance. And one of the things that grabbed me, three things that grabbed me right on top of each other was when he shoots Alberto Falcone, right? That's unexpected. Boom. So, whoa, we get that. Then it's the transition of his laughing face, like, ha, 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 I got you, to, oh, shit, what did I just do? And what am I going to have to do to clean all of this up? It takes place in a moment on his face, but it is so telling. And then, boom, they hit us with that violin and that cut to the title card. So everything we need to know about Oz is presented to us in that cold open. And I don't know. I'm so intrigued because I'm coming to this cold. I'm so intrigued by this story and the thing that they're building with. Another thing, he's carrying the body down the stairs and he's like, I don't want to carry this body all the way down the stairs. So he throws it down the stairs. And it's like, oh, work smarter, not harder, right? So there's all this subtle character building that's happening right at the very beginning. I don't know. I'm floored by what they're able to build here.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yep. And I will say this version of Oz, of the Penguin, he is, in the comics, most of the time, if not all the time, he's displayed as having come from wealth, right? He's disfigured.
Okay.
And and because of his money, he's able to form this persona, right? He's able to build himself up because of his wealth in the crime underworld. Mm-hmm. In this show, he is devoid of that. It doesn't look like he comes from any wealthy beginnings. It looks very humble. It looks like he was always someone who was looked down on, not just because of the physical, but because of where he came from, right?
Bro, if you're driving around a plum Maserati, you are showing off. You are showing off.
I've arrived. You know how many? There are a lot of gangsters, a lot of dudes that when they get that money, what the first thing that they do is get something to let you know, I'm not that guy anymore. I've arrived. Right? And that's what he's doing. This entire first episode is him saying, I've arrived. And there's nothing anyone is going to stop me from showing you, showing the world that I'm here. He's really firmly planted in that. And it's great to see, because we have a lot of wealthy, you know, protagonists and antagonists in films and movies of the comic book nature, right? I'm happy to see this villain who is hard scrabble from the streets. His mom is like, yo, did I teach you to be this way? What are you doing? We'll talk about that, but I'm just saying, his mom is like, yo, what are you talking about? You know, it's so real. I'm sorry. It's so real. You've heard of people say sometimes, man, I got into a fight. I went home and I was crying. And then my mom or my pop looked at me and said, why are you crying? It was like, oh, you got beat up. I got beat up. And then I stopped crying. Go back outside. Pick up something and beat that kid up. I've heard those stories. You know, I've heard those stories. Like, stop crying. Put on your sneakers and then go back outside. And don't come back inside until that kid is crying. That's what his mom is. To like a thousandth degree. You know what I'm saying? He's like, she's over the top. She's over the top and making sure that he doesn't take any slights.
So, and this is really interesting and creates this extra dimension around his character, because one of the things that they layer in is the fact that he had brothers. And we see the family photographs. We see the photographs in his apartment. We see the photographs at his mom's house. Interesting side note, his bedroom is inside of a safe.
Yes.
So all of this is signaling to me that here's a guy who grew up with a rich, and he talks about the slushies and the slush puppies and all that and nostalgia. So here's a guy that grew up with a rich social background. And now what is he? He's alone. He's ambitious and he's alone. And he sleeps behind a vault. And the only thing he has left is his mother. So like, I'm instantly questioning, where are his brothers? What happened to them? What happened in that story? Right? Super interesting. Then he meets Vic and he sees something in Vic through a whole bunch of different signaling, you know, through a sort of a stutter, young kid, a kid who's willing to actually speak up for himself and not just turn around and look at the sunset, but he's actually going to try to argue back and stand his ground a little bit. What that tells me about Oswald is that he's also very lonely. Mm. He's alone in this world. He's going to do what he's got to do, but he misses that companionship. He misses having that familial, you know, connection with other people. And so I thought that this idea of bringing Vic in so we can kind of pivot to him now is such an interesting character because it gives us an audience, as the audience, an entry into this world. And we can, you know, Vic can be our explainer and our eyes into what's going on. But at the same time, he is his own character in this. And I think we're going to see an incredible arc of him going from this kid who's also lost everything into what? I don't know where they're going to take Vic. I don't know what his moral arc is going to be. And that's exciting, right? That's interesting. They're going to go someplace with this kid that I don't know what is going to happen.
I was scared for him from jump.
Uh-huh.
From the very beginning, I was like, oh, man, he's not going to last. He's not going to last. Like, oh, gosh. I
can't. Turn around. Check out the sunset, my boy.
Oh, my God. I was so scared for him. I was so scared for him because immediately I wanted him to survive. You know what I mean? I wanted him to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And up until the end of the episode, I was afraid for his life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I never knew what Oz was thinking about him. Because this is some guy who could be nice, but in the snap,
yep,
might change his opinion.
Yep.
And I was waiting for the change of opinion. And it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that was unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
That was unexpected.
There was a scene, I think it was at the apartment, at Penguin's apartment, when he's looking at a picture of Oswald with his brothers. And then the way that they rack focus is they then focus on the reflection of Vic on the glass.
Mm.
So we're seeing the photo, and then suddenly Vic's face appears on top of the photo.
Okay.
And
go ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Just like, okay, that's some really interesting signaling that they're doing right there, right? What are they telling us about this relationship between where we're going to go with this relationship?
In the comics, Oswald kills his brothers.
Okay.
Because they were his number one bullies.
Okay. All right.
so yeah.
We're going to see something here.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying he kills them. That's why we don't see his brothers.
But again, this is a different world. So yeah.
This is a different world. This is an else world.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that the way that he meets Vic is the way that Batman meets the second Robin.
Oh, I didn't think about that. That's interesting. This is kind of a Batman and Robin kind of thing, right? He's got his sidekick, Master Apprentice.
Right.
Wolf
it's
and
the Cub. The same exact way. Jason Todd, nice, who became the second Robin, was trying to steal the tires off of the Batman.
Okay, so that's good because they know that means that they understand where the source material that they are coming from.
Yes.
And then taking little bits of those things and then folding them in. So that's a little wink and a nod. Yeah, we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're seeing that a lot in Rings of Power, where they're dropping a line in or a character or somebody does something or says something and, you know, from other parts of the lore. And that just feels like, okay, right.
So that was a cool little thing, a little signal. Mm. When I watched it, I was like, oh, wow, okay.
Right on.
This is a Batman and Robin thing here. But I was still afraid for him.
Yeah.
I was still afraid for him. Even though I saw the Batman and Robin, and I know Batman would never harm Robin, I'm just like, whoo, I don't know about this one.
But this is the other side of the coin.
Right, exactly.
Literally the other side of the coin. So anything else on Vic, or do we want to talk a little bit about Sophia?
I just want to shout out, you know, Mr. Felice, because
he did a great job.
Excuse me. He did a great, 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 great job. You know, I was drawn into his character. And just, you know, when someone would just comes on screen and I'm immediately like hoping for the best for you, that mm-hmm. means something. Mm-hmm. You know, that means something in your portrayal, that you've already got me like saying, I hope this guy makes it. You know what I mean? So great job by him.
I just did a quick check on his credits. He doesn't have a deep background. So for him to be standing toe to toe with Colin Farrell and a whole bunch of other, you know, hardworking actors who all have good established histories, and then to be delivering a performance like he was doing when Oswald had the gun in his face, right at the beginning, the fear was palpable. What would I, and I put myself instantly in that position of, what if a guy that looked like this on a street like that had a gun in my face? And I had that moment of, is he going to, he hasn't shot me yet, but he's about to. The fear, the palpable fear that was coming through was an incredible performance and absolutely deeply emotional. And then a couple of other times where, you know, just his look on his face, like, oh, wow, this is how the other, you know, how God other lives. Parts of society live. Or when he's like, oh, you know, who's that guy? Oh, is he a nurse? No. He's got nurse qualities. But he's like, no, really, I'm this kid. I'm nice. Don't worry about it. And he's trying to, you know, just really an actor who's in control of his body and his emotions in a way to deliver those performances at this stage of his career. Bravo.
Yeah, definitely.
Bravo.
Definitely.
So let's talk a little bit about Kristen Milioti and Sophia, because what the hell is going on? I love her so much. The moment she appears in white behind the Penguin at the meeting with the family, I'm like, who is this angel? Oh, wait a minute. She's not an angel. She just got out of an asylum.
No, she just got out of Arkham. No way. No.
And then the way that she says, I've been rehabilitated, and sort of blinks her eyes and her eyes sort of catch her bangs a little bit. And just what an amazing performance. What an amazing performance. So the Hangman, that's an interesting moniker. It's an interesting sobriquet for this character. What do I kind of need to know from the movie without really spoiling the movie?
She's not really,
because they have history. Okay.
Yeah. She's not really into Batman.
Okay. All right. Good.
Yeah, this is her. Really, this is the first real exposition of her as a character on screen. Okay. So, what you're learning about her is what you're going to learn about
her. And that's it's interesting because they are hinting that she has a history with Oswald.
Yeah,
and that he did something that caused her to end up being or played a part in her being committed.
Maybe. Who knows?
Well, because she said there was a line, I wish I'd wrote it down. He said he did something. He said, oh, you know, I wish I could remember. But there was something that flagged the fact that he was engaged in some way of her committal.
Yeah, this is So many layers. But again, I'm ready to learn what it is that he did, right? But her performance was scary as all fucks. It was, mm-hmm. she was just radiating like murderous energy, you mm-hmm. know, like serial killer energy. Mm-hmm. That's what she gave off. And someone who is trying to stay in control, but you can see in her eyes that at any moment she can lose control and what that would mean for you, much like Oz.
And you know, when they show it to us is when they're at the dinner scene and she's scarfing down the food and knocking back her drinks. Her appetites are larger than her frame, her body size would allow you to realize. And I think from some of the trailers, we're going to get some flashbacks to her time in Arkham.
Yes, yes. And she already told you what that was like when they were torturing, you know, Oz. So it couldn't have been pretty.
No, and she's doing to Oz what was done to her. And she describes that. So, all right. Any other thoughts? I mean, I know we could spend probably another hour just taking the show apart, but I feel like that is about what I can say without going in, without putting on the deep sea diving suit and going down to the depths.
I mean, this is, just watch it. For those of you out there who are listening, who haven't watched it yet and are looking for a reason to watch it, this is your reason.
Mm.
It's just awesome. It's an awesome first episode. There's nothing else to be said about it. And it's worth your time. I think it's worth your investment. And hopefully, you know, the following episodes continue to build on what we've had so far in this first one.
Right, right. Cool. Okay, well, let's wrap it up. A couple of quick shout outs before we wrap up. Remember, if you like to write, we have a blog. We have an open submission policy. If you go to thelorehounds.com, and go to the blog page. There's a post on there that explains our submission process. Brian8063, our editor-in-chief, will be happy to take your posts and work with you to get them put up. You don't have to do anything except basically send us an article. To our affiliates, really quick, Never Mind the Music is our latest podcast to join the Lorehounds Network. Amazing stuff. Mark and Nicole. Mark is a music professor. Nicole is a psychology professor. And they take songs and they break them down about how the melodic structures work. But then they talk about something like grief or Jung's collective unconsciousness and how they interrelate. They did a really great episode the other day on cover songs. That was a really fascinating. I don't know, Jean, if you've had a chance to check them out.
I have. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun. Actually, it's super cool. I haven't. There's a new one that I need to check out from this week. But yeah, they listen to it. It's so informative, and they give you so much information in such a cool, laid back type of way. Yeah.
Yep. I think coming up is True by Spandau Ballet and The Money Notes of a Middle School Dance. That's an interesting topic. Going to be. And then I think episode 7 looks like they're going to talk a little Stevie Wonder. So that's going to be.
That should be fun.
That should be fun. I believe that we've got some Fallout lore coming. I know AJ, I think, messaged us and let us know that we've got something coming up. You and Alicia, what do you guys got cooking?
We're covering Agatha All Along.
That's right.
And you'll be sitting
starting off good with two episodes.
Yeah, thank you. And it's a great, great show. Like Alicia said in her voicemail, two comic book adaptations that are markedly different. It's exciting to have that in the same season. We're looking forward to continuing with that. We have the DC Universe looking forward towards Creature Commandos, which is coming out at the end of this year. We have the comics versus where if you go, I give you my weekly comic picks from all the polls that I get, and we talk all things comics, DC, Marvel, and things of that nature. And yeah, lots, cool. Lots coming.
We also are wrapping up our Rings of Power coverage. We're about to record our episode 7, which will drop later this week. And along with our subscriber-only lore cast, where each week Marilyn and John and I go deep on a particular topic. Last week, Marilyn and I should be out the morning of this recording. Marilyn and I spent about an hour talking about orcs and the difference between orcs and uruks, as the show is showing us, and talking about the morality of having an only evil race that is you can exterminate without guilt or fear, and how that's not really the truth of the matter, and what Tolkien struggled with you know, is there redemption if somebody is part of creation and, you know, created by this higher being, at least in that world, you know, can you have somebody that can't be redeemed? So it's a really fascinating conversation.
That's great.
And other than that, I think coming up in the fall, we've got Silo headed out, coming out, and we've got Dune Prophecy. And so and we've got a couple of special projects. I'm going to be doing a 50th anniversary Star Trek the motion picture podcast. And I think we're going to try and do something for the 50th anniversary of Dungeons and Dragons. We've got Poltergeist, the whole franchise coming out for our Spooktober plan. So far too much to try and keep track of or to try to cram into the end of this podcast. So I'm going to wrap that there. And then just a quick shout out to our Discord server boosters, Gnarls, Aaron K., Tiller the Thriller, Dork the Ninja, Doof 71, Captain Gingy 56, Athena Agilea, Adrian, Tina, Lestu, Nancy M., and Ghost of Perdition. Thank you all so very much for supporting the community and making our server a more fun place for our community to meet and to talk with each Absolutely. Other. Our lore masters are top tier subscribers. They're the cornerstone of our ability to produce all the crazy content that we produce. We couldn't do it without you. You guys really keep the gas in our tanks. Samartian, Michael G., Michelle E., David W., Brian P., SC, Peter O.H., Bettina W., Adam S., Nancy M., Duve 71, Brian 8063, Frederick H., Sarah L., Gareth C., Eric F., Matthew M., Sarah M., DJ Miwa, Andra B., Kwong Yu, Deadeye Jedi Bob, Nathan T., Alex V., Aaron T., Sub-Zero, Aaron K., Dally V., Mothership 61, Gnarls, Kathy W., Lestu, Jeffrey B., Elisa U., Fassi U., Neil F., Ben B., Charlotte M., and always last but never least, Adrian. Thank you all so very much. We couldn't do it without you. Thank you to all of our subscribers, no matter what level you're at. And thank you to everyone who listens. We don't care about, you know, whether you're a subscriber or not. We're just glad that you're here with us. And we all have a chance to talk about the things that we love and to be in community together. Jean, thank you. Thanks for jumping on. We were
Thank you.
We're like, oh, should we do something? And it's like, oh, yeah, we can't not do something. So we threw this together real quick. And we'll look forward to Alicia joining us on future coverage once we settle out for what's going on, because you guys are going to be busy a little bit with Agatha. So
yeah, and that's going to be a fun time, so bring it on.
Join us over there.
Bring it on.
Cool. All right, talk to you guys later.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities. Thanks for listening.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.